The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss.
Ah!
And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm Speaking Plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hayne. Joining me in the studio, of course, is my producer, Holly Lowe, and our special guest tonight, now current candidate for City Council at Large District 2, Bill Bishop, going to the phones right now and talking to Lori. Lori has a comment. Says the use of credit cards versus cash. What are your comments there,
yes,
Lori?
Yes, actually, since you did commercials, I have to do a couple comments. I appreciate your intro, which is reminiscent of The Truman Show.
A movie of which I have never seen, by the way.
Oh, you should. It's really a cruel movie for anybody who is a little bit paranoid. And I wanted to ask Bill Bishop, this is your second time around, right?
That's correct.
Very good. I think I met you once, just briefly, and I'm glad. I hope that Matt Schellenberger, I think his name is Schellenberger, right? Matt Schellenberger.
Matt Schellenberger. Matt Schellenberger. He's term limited.
I hope he takes the same cue, because I like the fact that you skip, and then you can go back and run again, because that allows us as citizens to say you did a good job the first time. Please come back. And the second thing, the real thing I really wanted to say this October 2017, because I assume you're running in 2018, correct?
Actually, the election is March of 2019.
19. Midterm election.
19. Oh, dude. Okay. So it gives me a long time to think. But I wanted to say about the plastic issue. With the Equifax breach that we just had, we all have to wonder, who's doing our plastic? And a long time ago, I walked away from plastic, especially the credit cards, because I knew in the occupation I was in, identity theft was already happening, especially of dead people. And the reason why it has to go away is because of the Equifax breach, and it will... to me, it will fade out, and we will go back to our local bankers so that we can be the person we are. You go in, if you have a problem, they know who you look like, they know where you live, and that's the way it's going to have to go.
Excellent.
Because we don't know who's using our plastic.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lori.
And that's the fatal flaw.
Thank you for your call tonight. I appreciate another great comment. Let me ask you this. For either one of you, do you go to the same bank branch every time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. And the people know you there?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Not okay. Really, because I don't go there enough, and they keep changing all the time.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well,
personal banking. Business banking, they know me because I'm in there all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, in the bank that I go to, I go in. Of course, obviously, I make a fool of myself every time I'm in there, so it works out well. They remember the people that act like idiots.
There's a young lady that works at the drive-through window at the credit union I go to that knows me and my husband on a first-name basis. If I'm in a hurry, I know I can trust her. I can put the cash in the tube and send it through to deposit it, and she will pull up my account information for me because she knows I'm usually on my lunch break. She's a great person. And I miss her when she's not there, because the other kids that work there, it's, I need to see your ID, and
right.
You need to have your, this isn't filled out right, and I don't have to worry about that with the
that
other young lady.
That is the real benefit of local banking.
Of local,
correct.
small town banking. It works out really well. Not anything against Wells Fargo or the Bank of America, but, clearly with BOA, you become a number. All you are to them is cattle.
They really don't want individual small customer, you know, individuals banking
right.
customers, because it, in their world, it costs too much.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there was, you know, there was a time, and I'm sure it's gotten worse, but there, I was in New York, oh, probably 7 or 8 years ago, and there was a bank that had just double glass doors, and you swiped your debit card, and that would open the first set of glass doors, and then inside this little cubbyhole, there were like 9 ATM machines all along one wall. And then you would go up and just go to the ATM machine and do whatever banking you needed to do. And then you also had to swipe your card to get out of that area. So you could have up to 9 people in this little, whatever number of machines there were in this little kiosk at one time, but you had to have a card to get in and a card to get out. And if you needed to see a teller, then you had another door you could go through, and they charged you $3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard about some big banks in large cities are doing that. They're charging customers to use an actual person.
Right.
Now, to me, that's just wrong. I don't know.
Me too.
Maybe I'm old school on that, right? But that's just wrong.
Well, the personal interaction with people, it's the same way with folks that grown. I've said this probably 24 times this month. Grown adult people texting to each other. Men in their 50s and 60s texting to each other instead of just picking up the phone and calling. You know, the main reason for my 5 text limit is because we're not high schoolers trying to sneak our phone into algebra class. We're grown adult people, pick up the phone and call. If I'm busy and I can't take your call, I won't answer it. Now, I'm not coming down on you, but you're a prime example, Holly, of what happened yesterday. And it's nothing wrong with it, but it was the way you felt on the other end of the phone conversation. I was busy. And usually my friends know that if they text me, boom, I'm right back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they call me, I call them right back. Well, it was funny. I was flying or working or something, and you sent me a text. And then it was like 3 hours later, I get another text from her right when I had just gotten back, and it says, "So I guess you're working." And I just hit the button and called her, and she said, "Well, you know, usually you get right back to me." And that's kind of what we've done with our friends, all of us. We've trained them that if they send us a text, we immediately give them a response.
Well, that's indicative of everything we do these days. It's instantaneous. If I got to have it now, I got to have it done yesterday. In fact, if you do it an hour from now, what took you so long? I mean, the level of expectation of immediacy has almost gotten out of control.
Right. Back in the day when we had answering machines, you would call, you'd leave a message. Somebody might be at work, and they'd come home at the end of the night, and they'd play the tape, and they'd write down all the people they had to call back, and then they'd call them back then, and it was no harm, no foul.
Mm-hmm.
Now people are used to everyone having a cell phone with them 24 hours a day. That they call, and if they don't get a positive or negative response almost instantly, they wait 30 minutes and they call back. I will be honest. I unloaded on a woman here at the station the other day because she called me at 12:31, was Saturday a week ago. And then she called me at 12:36. Then she called me again at 12:43. And I finally was in a movie theater. I was relaxing and enjoying myself watching a movie. And I come out, and I call. I said, "What? Well, we're trying to reach you about such and such and this and that." And I said, "Well, you know, that's what, just leave me a message, and I'll call you back." I was in a movie theater trying to enjoy a movie. But we have become a society that believes that everyone eats, drinks, walks, talks, and breathes with their cell phone in their hand. And I'm just not one of those people. I enjoy that. I enjoy that little time away from the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Do you carry yours with you everywhere? Be honest. Do you take yours in the bathroom with you?
No. Okay. I have it in a pocket or in my purse, but because I monitor social media for my other job, mm-hmm. I keep it out and watch it. But there was a rule at Coach. No phones out on the desk unless you've got a sick child at home and you're expecting a call from your sitter.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's not necessarily a bad policy. And, of course, you know, at the city council, no phones there either, because we know what that did.
People get in trouble with those things.
You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. We'll be right back.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Boy, we never did announce tonight, Holly, our candidate, our, you know, our comment selection, our talking points, or anything. We just kind of went off in our own direction.
Like we always do.
And I'm getting ready to do that right now. We were talking over the break about developing a personal relationship and about some of the things, some of the issues that come up relative to credit card use and how people can track your activities and your day-to-day routine. Starting in 2003, a lot of people don't know that with the advent of OnStar and some of the other vehicle assistance programs, that there is a black box now in all cars made in the United States or imported into the United States. It's mandated by the NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, that records whether or not brakes were applied in the instant prior to a disconnection of power. Brakes were applied, what speed you were going. And in the case of OnStar, there's GPS trackers built in. So if someone were to hack your car and the transmitter for your car, they could very easily determine what your daily routines are. In fact, there was a sheriff officer, I'm not sure whether it was either Hillsborough or Pinellas County, a few years back, became romantically involved with a young lady who was owed about $80,000 in child support. And she became aware that her ex-husband had purchased a brand new General Motors Cadillac with OnStar. And because her new boyfriend was a member of law enforcement, he was able to activate the OnStar and direct the process server to his location to serve him with the subpoena that required his court appearance relative to her overdue child support payments. And when they found out that she had used the services of this police officer, he got a nice attorney to file a petition on his behalf of invasion of privacy and illegal search and seizure, and they won it in court, and whatever sheriff's department that this detective worked for was on the hook for all of her back support and arrearages, and then he got a settlement of $100,000 out of court. So the guy, the deadbeat dad, made $100,000 and got his back child support paid up to zero, and all on the fact that someone invaded his privacy and activated his OnStar account. Now, not to say that it's not done for good things. You know, recently we just had someone that either robbed a bank or robbed a convenience store, and apparently they got a good description and a license plate number of the vehicle, and the police department was able to contact through the VIN number of the car, through the registration of the vehicle, and OnStar was able to shut the car off to where it would idle, but it wouldn't go any farther, any faster than that. There was at one time a software upgrade made to all the OnStar cars to where law enforcement could turn your car off, but that was completely nixed very quickly because in turning it off, you lose the power steering, you lose the power brakes.
Yeah, that can be dangerous.
So they rewrote the software to where they could make your car just go to idle. And I think in many cases that's a good thing, but in other ways, it's an example of Big Brother, you know, moving in on our personal and private lives. And
most people don't realize that Google traffic app that we all rely on is
right.
Done by the courtesy of millions of people who have their GPS on their phone.
Yeah.
Active all the time.
That's how
they get the information.
I keep mine turned off. Many times I'll open an app that asks me to, Google wants to know your location. I just say, nope, no thanks.
It's none of their business.
Yeah. And I know friends of mine that work for one of the television stations here in town, the first thing they do is go in and turn off all of the apps that use the GPS positioning. If you ever search something on Google, and then you go and you open up your Facebook page, and over in the little ad column, boom, there's automatically stuff related to what you searched on a totally different program. We're really starting to become too entrenched in the electronic media. And I can tell you that the next probably the next assault on the United States is not going to be with conventional weapons and bombs and guns and bullets. It's going to be someone's going to hack into our electric grid, into our banking systems, into our computer systems, and you see what happens in a hurricane like we just had. Irma, a friend of mine who works for Comcast, is getting blessed out up one side and down the other by people in neighborhoods that don't even have power, but they're upset because they don't have Comcast mm-hmm. or they don't have their internet. And on a couple of occasions, he said, you know, you don't have power, you're sitting in the dark, and you're yelling at me because you don't have Comcast because there's a tree on your line. And their response is, yeah, but I got a generator. You know, I can plug my laptop in, and I can plug my Wi-Fi in, and I can have my, you know, I have my fix. It's almost like a gambling addict.
Yeah, it is. Know? Yeah.
So, moving forward now, going to the Florida-Georgia game coming up here in a couple of weeks. Go Dogs. Big sporting events in Everbank Field, big sporting events going forward. Is the city doing, in your opinion, what it needs to do to market itself as something other than just an NFL town?
Gators!
Wait.
Well, yeah, go Gators, definitely. Yeah. No question about that. But we do a good job, I think, of marketing ourselves as a sports town from the conventional football kind of stuff and things like that. There's a lot of things about this city that we don't do a good job of marketing ourselves of. Believe it or not, Jacksonville is a very big destination with certain countries in Europe for ecotourism, namely Britain and Northern Europe.
The kayaking and the
hiking and the camping and fishing and all that stuff. People come from over there, over here, just for that. And, I mean, we've got the last undeveloped piece of old Florida coastline left in the state that's never going to get developed. Timaquan Preserve is a fantastic asset. We do not market that very well. And that's,
where is that located?
Oh, that's up.
You mean Fort Caroline?
Fort Caroline, Timaquan Preserve, all of that, yeah.
Oh, so you call that coastline.
Well, you take that all the way to the ocean, it's one big swamp. It's
okay,
all there. Yeah.
All right,
all of that intercoastal property is never going to get developed.
Right. Okay.
It's a huge economic asset that we don't market very well. And I had a conversation with this with Paul Astaford a few years back when I was still on the council. Why don't we push this stuff? Because I've met people from England who come over here to do that. And he says, well, we didn't, it's like, you know, we only have so much money and resources and blah, 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 blah. But that kind of stuff we don't market very well.
Well, you know, here's another thing not very many people know, unless you're actually involved in that. But when you think of go-karts, you think of the little Sears Craftsman with the little tiny lawnmower tires and the 3.5 horsepower Brig Stratton and the metal frame and your kids zipping all around the neighborhood, you know, burning gasoline. But when you think of karting, which begins with the letter K, mm-hmm. you're talking about $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 carts before you put anything on it. You're talking about floating a half an inch above the ground at over 100, 125 miles an hour.
They're race cars.
Mm-hmm. They're race cars that someone, I know a family here in Jacksonville whose son was number one in the nation at 5 years old doing 108 miles an hour, a half an inch off the ground. At 5 years old, 108 miles an hour.
That's crazy.
It's a fantastic sport, but we are a city that has the last city-owned kart track in the entire country, and it was at one time one of the largest. It's 0.8 mile long, and there are people that come from Europe, from Spain. A lot of those Formula One race car drivers, when they're young, their families bring them over here just to run on the 103rd Street racetrack. You never see it advertised.
No.
Ever.
Well, dragon boating is one of these obscure sports that we have the river system that would be a world-class facility. And it's one of these team-building things is what you hear about all the time. But people come from all over the country and all over the world to do this stuff. It's an incredible sport. There's a lot of stuff like that that we have the ability to do. The equestrian center on the west side has always been the orphan stepchild of our recreation facilities. There are horse shows all over the country. These people travel with these animals. It costs them thousands of dollars to do this stuff. That's another economic engine. By themselves, no single one of them is going to be the panacea for everything. But when you add them all up, it's just, oh, there's a whole plethora of things that we can do here that we don't really promote very well.
Yeah, and I hardly hear. I know our station promotes them from time to time. I know that you see them on Channel 4 and maybe some of the other television stations also. But we have a really great zoo here.
And absolutely.
And I don't think that they get the type of promotion that really be warranted.
No, it's the finest zoo in the Southeast. It's up there with the San Diego Zoo and the Brock Zoo and all the ones that you think about when you think about great zoos.
And we have the Bush Anheuser-Busch Brewery here now, the InBev Brewery. Mm-hmm. I did not know until just recently. You know, we used to go to Tampa to go to the Busch Gardens down there and then take the brewery tour. They do brewery tours here.
Yeah, they do.
So, you know, there are little things that certainly don't begin with the name Jaguar that could be made up here in Jacksonville to occupy time for tourists coming in. Now, I understand that during the Florida-Georgia game this year, one of our biggest hotels is not going to be open for business because of damage from the flooding during Hurricane Irma. So that's going to be a big economic impact on downtown Jacksonville for that game, which, you know, rightfully so, at one point in time was broadcast as the largest cocktail party in the world, and it earned that reputation, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. The phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to step away for just a couple minutes, but we'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay, and joining me in the studio is, of course, my executive producer, Holly, along with our special guest tonight, Councilman candidate, Bill Bishop. But right now, we're going to go to the phones, and another special guest, the man that does the show immediately after this show, who I'm honored to have on to do a little cross promotion, Walter Sterling with Sterling on Sundays. Good evening, Walter, and welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Bill, hey, it is a great privilege to be on your show and also a great risk for me because you sound so much better than I sound.
Oh, come on.
That I need to go back to the minors after listening to you this evening.
Okay, the check's in the mail, Walter. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You have an absolutely.
I'm hoping we can forget the check. I'm hoping we can work out a barter for a February vacation.
Excellent.
That's my goal here.
Well, you know, the powers that be here at the station are always looking to get other Salem hosts to come down. And a lot of folks have listened to your show for the last few weeks here on Sunday night, starting at 10 o'clock, right when we roll off. And just, you know, you go, I'm not going to quote age or anything, but you go way back in time with much, 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 much bigger people than me.
Well, I don't know. This is pretty big. You know, we prepared a pretty interesting show for tonight because I don't know about you, but my greatest fear is around Saturday afternoon and I realize that I have a lot of homework to do and I got a final exam late on Sunday night. But tonight, a couple things that we're going to talk about. First of all, this is the time of year, especially in the northern states, where parents are forced to go apple picking and pumpkin picking with their kids. And there are a lot of things you and I aren't allowed to admit that we don't like. And one of them is we're not allowed to say, you know, I really hate to go apple picking and I really hate to go pumpkin picking. We can't admit that. It's like street fairs. You're not allowed to say you don't like street fairs. But the fact is that the reality of apple picking is hell. It's mud on the shoes, you're going to step in a bumblebee nest. And what a scam farmers have. Anybody who says farmers are dumb are wrong. Farmers are geniuses. We buy baskets from them. We walk through their fields. We step in their mud and their bees and mosquitoes. We harvest their apples, and then they charge us for it.
Well, I've got to admit to you, Walter, and I'm looking around the studio here and over in Master Control. Of course, Tom is an oddball because he's from up there around that part of the country. But I don't think anyone sitting here in the studio with me tonight has ever gone apple picking or pumpkin picking unless it was done at our local Walmart in the produce section.
And that's the only way to do it. And what's the deal? And, you know, you have a councilman in the studio with you tonight?
I do. I have a councilman candidate and a former councilman and a former candidate for mayor here.
All right. Then it's very simple, gentlemen. Here's how you solve all unemployment. The way you solve all unemployment is you require by law that if Walmart, CVS, Duane Reade, Walgreens wants those county seal of approval stickers on cash registers, you know, the weights and measures seal that says this is a legit cash register, if they want to get that seal, they have to agree that when that store is opened, that cash register has to be staffed. You and I go into Walmart. There are 43 cash registers.
And two of them are
open. Two cashiers. Right, two cashiers. But in order to get that sticker, they should have to agree to staff it. If they agreed to staff every cash register, if they were compelled to, there'd be no unemployment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And get some more greeter positions. Get some more greeter positions that have a little bit better personality than those of a rock out of the garden center. That's just my...
Don't the greeters scare you? The greeters scare
they
me.
They do. They do. They actually do.
What kind of greeter is it that you run from the greeter? You
exactly.
You avoid the greeter.
You see them when you're walking in from the parking lot, and you know they're going to say, "Walk into Walmart, get your crap, and get out." You know, that's just the way they are.
I like the ones
and
that...
Then because, yeah. And then because it's Sunday night, I'm going to share my work nightmares, not the... You know, imaginary nightmare, but the actual nightmares. I think everybody who goes to work once or twice a year wakes up the night before work startled because we have a nightmare about work. And in radio, there are a couple consistent nightmares to everybody who's worked in radio, Bill. I bet you have one. One of mine is that I'm a disc jockey, which is a nightmare in itself, but that I'm a disc jockey. And I, the record's coming out, it's ending, and I don't know which record to play next. That's my DJ nightmare. And so I'm going to ask you to call in and share what your nightmare is about going to work.
Wow. Well, my nightmare about going to work with my real job is that the rotor blade's going to come off and I'm going to end up on the newspaper the next day. That's
a pretty bad nightmare.
Yeah, but I don't have those nightmares very often. You know, in talk radio, and you know it as well as I do, our biggest nightmare is that we're going to bring our day-to-day talk into the studio and slip up and go live with it and say one of the words that we're not allowed to say on the air just on accident. I have people that greet me on the street, and they say, "Wow, I listen to your show all the time, and I just don't understand how you don't How do you do all of that? How do you rant without cussing?" And then the next thing I'm doing, I'm sitting behind the mic thinking, trying to get that out of my mind, saying, "Don't say a bad word. Don't say a bad word. Don't say a bad word." So, yeah.
But if you did, that's why you have a control board operator to blame.
Exactly.
That's their fault. If that goes on the air, that's not your fault, Bill. That's their fault.
You know, I got to remember that now as I'm looking at Tom, and Tom's shaking his head like, no, that's not.
Not Tom, it's your fault.
All right, well, so let's talk a little bit about your show. It's kind of, I'm taking a big assumption here because we do the same thing. We try to educate people. We try to tell people about politics. We try to tell people about things that are going wrong in the United States, but also have a little humor, have a little comedy, have, you know, distraction, and then teach them something at the same time. And I've been listening to your show, honestly, and this is not warm smoke, because I don't have to say anything at all. I could just say, "Great show, Walter. I really, you know, I enjoy it," and that's it. But I truly have, on the drive home and at other times, I listen to your show on Sunday nights, and it's great. It's absolutely, it's lighthearted, you know, and I know I'm learning something at the same time. How long have you taken on this format?
Over 3 years. I've done it for over 3 years, and the only thing I would take issue with you, and it's my job as a professional host to take issue with people. the only thing I did, I educate in no way. There's no education, no learning going on my show. But that's my job. I believe that there is a place in American radio for the transition from weekend to weekday. And it's a Sunday night show. When people in radio say, "Well, you know, I don't know if you'd work an afternoon drive," I'd say, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that show in afternoon drive. I would do an afternoon drive show."
Right.
But this is Sunday night. It's a very special time. It is 100% leisure listening. You can watch TV and watch the news and listen to 50 other radio stations. So I've tried to create, and I don't always succeed, but I've tried to create a show that will only work on Sunday night. It's for that special sweet spot that we have between reflecting and thinking about the nice things and the rotten things that happened on the weekend and getting us in a frame of mind to go to work on Monday. And with that is the recognition that many people who listen at that time are in fact going to work on the third shift. And I believe there's tremendous negligence in American media that we don't talk and address people going to work at 11 o'clock at night. If you're working in a major hospital, you're coming home or you're going to work.
Right. I agree with you. We have a group here in town over at the Aetna building that works in the overnight hours. And I'm normally on Saturday nights from 6 to 9, and they apparently blaze this show over their PA intercom because they get a chuckle out of it, and they enjoy
great.
That. And so when they're listening...
I'm done.
We're getting ready to go to music. I wanted to hear more about you, not me.
The other group that wires us in and listens, I kid you not, I get an astonishing number of letters from prisoners. And the prisoners can go into great detail. Now, what I have found is that I keep track of prisoners when they get out because they're the best guests. Like, for example, Anthony Weiner, congressman, and let that be a cautionary tale to those of you running for mayor and city council. Anthony Weiner, who was convicted of sexting to a minor, a potential mayoral candidate from New York and the congressman from New York, I had a prisoner on to give Anthony Weiner advice.
Wow, that's... to tell him what to expect. Wow. Walter Sterling, it's been a fantastic opportunity. Tell people about a website in the last 45 seconds, other than listening right after this show. And I encourage everybody, stay on this station, stay on this channel, listen to Sterling on Sundays after we get done. But how about a website, buddy?
Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show.
Excellent. Walter Sterling can be heard here on WVOB AM 600 FM 101.1. Right after this show at 10 o'clock, I expect all of you guys to continue listening. Walter, thanks for being a guest tonight. I appreciate it.
Bill, hey, you're great. Thank you.
And there you have it. Walter Sterling, right here on this station. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Hey, hey, hey. Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Hey, hey,
hey. That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. That was a great interview with Walter Sterling.
It was.
And he gave me a wonderful idea. You know, he said that he had a former prisoner on that was going to give Anthony Weiner some tips on what prison life's going to be like. I think he got, 18 months or 21 months or something like that.
He got
considerable more time than what he expected he was going to get, and rightfully so.
Probably less than he deserved. But
you know. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. But to give him that advice, so I'm going to try and find someone to give that kind of advice to Corinne Brown. That's going to be a whole show. Work on that, Holly. Let's get someone...
That could be fascinating.
Let's get someone on to, you know what? Let's pull some strings. Let's go for the top. Let's shoot for the top. Get Martha Stewart on the line. Let's get Martha Stewart on the line and find out.
Think big. Yeah,
think big. Think big. Shoot for the moon and settle for somewhere around Peoria.
I think Weiner actually got 21 months in Motel 16.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, he's got something like 5 years a follow-on probation, and then for the rest of his life, he has to register as a sex offender. And that's probably unheard of among political candidates or former political celebrities.
Did you watch the movie that they did?
About him?
Where the camera crew followed him around, and originally it was supposed to be for him, and then ended up with all that stuff came out that it really was like a joke.
But the guy's a degenerate, man. What do you expect?
You know, he has
It's hilarious. Problem.
You know, he's married to Uma.
Uma. Not anymore. Uma, she divorced
Uma
him.
Habedin.
Uma Habedin?
Yeah.
Uma
Habedin. Hillary's right-hand
right.
person. Yeah.
And so she has divorced him.
Yes.
Okay.
And but, you know, she wasn't bad-looking. When you put the two of them together, you look and you say, well, you know what? He did pretty well.
Yeah. He married up.
He did. You know, that's a rare thing for men. It truly is. It's a rare thing. Well, it's a rare thing for men to marry up with respect to physical attributes. It's common that men will marry up relative to money. But women, almost without a question, marry up with respect to money. You can always find an old geezer to give a beautiful young woman just about anything she wants.
Dead. I am not going to say a word. There are so many places I could go with that, but we are on the radio.
And
this is a family show.
I am a
right?
born-again Christian,
I'm
not going to say the horrible things. I'm going to have to pray for the thoughts that just came into my head.
When you look, you and I went to school together. We have got members of our class that post regularly on Facebook that are women that are well-preserved through modern chemistry and surgical techniques that did nothing. They have done nothing in life. But yet they're jetting all over the world. They're riding horses on the beach in Monterey. You know, they're traveling to South America to go to a Bugatti collectible car show. They've done nothing except start out as beautiful women in college, finding a professor or finding a lawyer or a doctor, and they marry up. They do. And then they do nothing but drink martinis and eat bonbons and continue to look beautiful. Come on.
And men get nothing out of this, I guess.
Well, not the right men, because I'm still going home alone.
The last time I checked, you don't have millions in your checking account.
I don't.
Or you wouldn't be doing a once-a-week radio show.
That is true.
As a pilot and working
now,
with a tree trimming service.
The piloting...
would probably still be flying.
The piloting, I would still be flying. And the tree trimming is because, being a bachelor, everything I eat comes through a drive-through, and so I would weigh 500 pounds if I didn't get out and do some kind of work, some kind of manual labor. Plus, it keeps me in touch with the people, you know? And those people, those men out there on the tree services, they have friends, and those friends have friends.
Are you about to announce a candidacy, too, and start kissing babies and handing out bumper stickers?
No, I will never be a politician, ever. Don't ever want to be. I learned that from my dad. He went through 18 mayors, and several of them wanted him to run for political office because he had just so many friends in the city. I mean, you think about it. Dad has been gone for 17, 18, 19 years, and people like Matt Carlucci still remember him. He made that kind of impression on people. He was straight and narrow, you know, all day long, and he had a saying, I never want to be a plutocrat. And that's really what politicians are. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, you're a plutocrat.
Sad part is those are the kind of people that ought to be running.
And
those
not,
are the people that ought to be running our government.
And they don't because they're worried about getting, drug across the coals for, what they did. My father had access to a city car. Back then they drove little Dodge Darts. Little white Dodge Darts out of the city parking lot behind the courthouse.
I remember those cars.
And he had access to those Dodge Darts, and he could drive one home every day if he wanted to. It was part of what was his assignment with the job, and he refused to because he never wanted John Q. Public to see him getting out of the car at the Pantry Pride or the A&P on his way home from work trying to be efficient to get mom some milk or some bread or some cheese or some eggs or whatever. He never wanted it to be misconstrued as him using the car for personal gain. And so for 60 years, he drove his own car to work. And that's an admirable practice. By today's standards, people wouldn't think twice about it. You know, they drive their city cars. You know, we had a police officer apparently that was driving our our car from here to Stark or someplace, St. Augustine, to visit a girlfriend, and then come back. I mean, it just the ethics.
I can remember when JSO, you were not allowed to drive that car out of Duval County. If you lived in Nassau, you had to park it at a friend's house right there by the county line because Jacksonville did not allow you to drive their patrol cars into another county.
Right, now they've changed that.
Oh, yes.
It hasn't been like that for a long time.
It hasn't been, and they've changed that. And apparently, if you do live outside the county, you can, I think, and I'd have to talk to Steve's owner or somebody, but I think you can pay a certain amount.
Right.
And that extra to drive your car home, mm-hmm. they'll allow you to do that. I think there is a fee involved with that. But, you know, let's look at it from a different standpoint. Why is it we don't hire people that live in our city?
Right.
You know, for the longest time, the school system here in Jacksonville was so bad, we had people that were actually leaving town to move into St. John's County so that they could put their kids in St. John's County school system, but yet they still worked here in Jacksonville. And we still see that a lot today, that folks are working and reaping the benefits of being in Jacksonville, but yet their property taxes are paid in St. John's County or paid in Clay County or paid in Nassau County. But their work life, and you're one of them. I'm not saying it's anything bad, but you work a real job that's in Duval County, but yet you live and pay property taxes in Nassau County.
Correct.
And there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But when you're a city official, not John Q. private public, but when you're an elected city official, we make certain city officials live in the district that they want to represent. Why is it we don't make city employees like police and firemen, policemen and firemen and policewomen or whatever, you know, police people, mm-hmm. or you know, city garbage collectors for that matter? Why we don't make them live within the confines of Duval County, so at least the money that's being paid to them in salary will go towards help. You know, we'll get some of that back in property taxes. Something to think about for the future. Maybe it's we don't have the workforce to draw from. You know, there might not be a brain drain. I've talked about that with Steve Zona a couple of times about the brain drain that's involved in this drop plan for the Sheriff's Department. We're losing an outrageous number of educated and experienced and streetwise police officers every single day of the week because of the drop plan, because mm-hmm. of the pension debacle that lagged on for years and years and years and years. And in fact, I've talked to some officers since then that say that there may be a grab back from some of the people that are currently receiving pensions that have been retired, that there may be an effort in the future to make a little grab back from that. I don't know whether that's constitutionally legal or not.
I don't think that's legal.
Yeah, well, if there's a loophole that they can find out there somewhere, it may come back up again. And yeah, remember, back in negotiations again soon. I wish Steve had called in, but I think they're back in negotiations again next year. I think the 3 years runs out sometime next year, or maybe the first.
It's
of the
probably the following year, but they will start negotiating next year, I would imagine. Yeah,
we'll find out. I'm sure he'll be back on the air. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to say goodbye to you. You're going home, Councilman Bishop.
I am. It's been fun.
I hope you will come back again in the not-too-distant future, and we'll talk more about your candidacy for City Council.
I would love to do it. Absolutely.
At-large District 2. Do you have a website going yet?
Not yet, but we will be making a big announcement quite soon.
Get it to me soon. This is I'm Speaking Plenty. We'll be right back.